So Memorial Day. Memorial Day was originally known as Decoration Day. Did you know that? It was originated in the years following the Civil War, and its purpose was to honor men and women who died serving in the United States military. And part of the observances included decorating the graves of the fallen Civil War soldiers from the North and the South, and it actually started in the South. On May 5th, 1868, General John A. Logan, he was a leader of the Organization for the Northern Civil War Veterans, he called for a nationwide day of remembrance. The 30th of May, 1868, was designated for the purpose of strewing flowers or otherwise decorating the graves of comrades who died in the defense of their country during the late rebellion, and whose bodies now lie in almost every city, village, hamlet, churchyard in the land. He proclaimed that the date of Decoration Day, as he called it, was chosen. May 5th was chosen because it wasn't the anniversary of any particular battle. And I thought that was pretty neat, pretty good history. So Memorial Day, as Decoration Day gradually became known, originally honored only those fallen during the Civil War, but during World War I, the United States found itself embroiled, of course, in another major conflict, and the holiday evolved to commemorate American military personnel who died in all wars. And so for decades, Memorial Day continued to be observed on May 30th, the date that Logan had selected for the first decoration, but in 1968, Congress passed the Uniform Monday Holiday Act, which established Memorial Day as the last Monday in May in order to create a three-day weekend for federal employees. Wow. Kind of misses the point, doesn't it? I just found that unbelievable. No, not unbelievable. I do believe it. The change went into effect in 1971. The same law also declared Memorial Day a federal holiday. So it started out Decoration Day to honor those lost in the Civil War. Eventually came as a day to honor all those who died in all of the wars. And many of us, of course, also observe Memorial Day as a time to remember our loved ones, right? Who have passed away, as we did with our presentation for the past members of Emmanuel Chapel who have gone. I guess to some people it's all about cookouts, right? The beach, the start of summer, long weekend. I guess that's what Congress was thinking back in the 60s. And I do think it's important that we look back and we honor those who sacrificed everything, who gave it all for our freedom of life and liberty and the pursuit of happiness. How many are glad we're free? Amen. How many are glad there have been men and women who fought to keep us that way? Amen. Hallelujah. How many are glad we have freedom of speech, freedom of religion, just to name a few. Now through history, you can see the tendency of men to always be kind to one another, right? Always be fair to one another, always love. No. What do we see through history? The tendency of men, sinful men, to oppress others. And that's what the wars were all about. To counter these men, to counter this evil, to fight on behalf of those who could not fight. For those who were helpless. And I love our history where America stepped in.
Amen.
Not just taking care of our own, but where America stepped in for the benefit of others. Yeah, you know, over the years selling antiques on eBay, I've sold quite a few 48-star flags. World War II era. You know where most of them go? France. And Belgium. And I imagine it's because those folks are thankful for what the United States did for them in World War II. But at home or abroad, our soldiers were committed. The Civil War, both World Wars, conflicts in Korea and Vietnam, from freeing people from the tyranny of slavery to liberating them from oppressive regimes. And of course now, we have an effort to stop such evil as ISIS for murdering innocent people. How many are familiar with the Battle Hymn of the Republic? Did you know that was written during the Civil War? And I like that line. Listen, this is that kind of the attitude As he died to make man holy, let us live to make men free. Originally, that was written, let us die to make men free. Imagine that kind of commitment to where they would say, let us die. Let us lay our lives down. Let us die so that men can be free. To settle it. That's commitment. So again, on Memorial Day, we look back. We honor those brave men and women. And we have different kinds of memorials. We have parades. We have ceremonies. Visiting and decorating graves. And we look back and we remember with thankfulness those who stood up for the helpless, those who rescued others. But I want to talk about a different case of oppression. You know, that goes clear back in history. Clear back through mankind. And there's one that we read about in the Bible and you're familiar with it. The children of Israel were held captive and were in the bonds of slavery by Egypt for 430 years. They cried out and they waited for a deliverer. Have you ever heard that song? My Deliverer is Coming. I can't remember who did it. It's an awesome song. And he was talking about the children of Israel and they were crying, singing out, My Deliverer is Coming. My Deliverer is Standing By. Very good song. So Exodus chapter 3 verses 7 and 8. The Lord said, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt, and I have heard their cry because of their taskmasters. For I know their sorrows. Verse 8, so I have come down to deliver them, hallelujah, out of the hand of the Egyptians. You all are familiar with the story, the account, truth, amen. On the eve of their deliverance, before God executed final judgment on Egypt, God established a memorial for them to observe. Something to cause them to look back and remember what He did. How many know what that's called? Passover, right? Passover. The children of Israel were instructed to slay a pure, unblemished lamb, and to put the blood of the lamb on the doorpost and a lintel of their home. The tenth plague that God judged Egypt with was that the firstborn would die. He instructed the children of Israel to slay this pure, undefiled lamb and to take that blood and put it on the doorpost and the top of the door. And when the angel of the Lord, when the death angel saw that, he would pass over and they would be saved. Very powerful. Very, very powerful. The blood indicated that judgment had been carried out on the sacrificial lamb. They were also commanded to eat the lamb along with unleavened bread, representing the haste in which they left Egypt. Later, Passover is also celebrated using other items. Very rich symbols and memorials. They would use a bowl. On the table, there would be a bowl of salt water representing the tears of their forefathers from 430 years of oppression. And the Red Sea that God parted for them to pass through, save them. Bitter herbs, representing the bitterness of slavery. A paste-like mixture of fruit and cinnamon sticks. I never knew about this one, which represented the bricks. You remember when the children of Israel were slaves and they were forced to make bricks out of clay and straw. So they would use that to look back and remember the horrible things that their forefathers went through, but the deliverance, the wonderful deliverance from the Lord God. Amen? Cups of wine were used to remind them of God's four promises in Exodus 6-8. Promises to deliver them, to deliver their forefathers from Egyptian slavery, and it also represented the blood of the Lamb. The point being that everything had meaning. It was a memorial established by God so that they would remember what He had done for them. We talked about this in Sunday school. In fact, a lot of my sermon we talked about in Sunday school. And the children of Israel throughout the Old Testament are constantly reminded But don't you know where you came from? Don't you remember what I did for you? And they forgot. Many times, time after time after time, we see them forgetting. But God set up this. This was God's idea. And He set up this memorial, this way, for them to look back. And all of the items, everything that they did, had meaning. But the meaning went beyond the deliverance of Israel from Egypt. It went way beyond. How many know it? The memorial also pointed to what? The coming of Jesus Christ as the Savior. There's so many things involved in that that point to Jesus Christ. It's just amazing. He is the Lamb without blemish. Jesus is the Lamb without blemish. What does that mean? He never sinned. So He was the only one worthy.
Amen.
No one could die for you. No one could die for me but Jesus. Because He was that pure and undefiled Lamb, the only acceptable sacrifice. And that pointed to Him. Jesus is the Lamb of God. And the blood on the doorposts, that pictures His blood shed for sinners. That pictures the sacrificial lamb. That pictures that judgment has already been laid on someone else. But you notice what they had to do with the blood. They had to apply it. And it's the same way with Jesus' blood. He has already died. Judgment has already been laid upon Him. But we have to take that blood and apply it to our heart. And the good news is, that's free. The good news is, He's there to forgive us whenever we ask. He's there to accept anyone who will come to Him. What was it, Doug? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. What? Come on. Shall be saved. It's because He paid the price. It's because He was that sacrificial lamb. But that blood has got to be applied to the doorposts of your heart, so to speak. Now, what does that mean? You know, that just sounds like, what do you mean? How do you do that? It just means that you're praying and repenting of your sins and asking Jesus to wash you with His blood. And then it is applied to you, to your heart and your life. And you're saved from that moment on. Salvation has come. The price has been paid. Now, Luke 22 gives us an account of Jesus observing the Passover meal. How many know Jesus was Jewish? Right? And He was observing the Passover meal with His disciples just before His death. He was observing in the prescribed way, the prescribed memorial, but He was also establishing a new memorial. Luke 22, verses 14 through 20. When the hour had come, He sat down and the 12 apostles with Him. Then He said to them, "With fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I will no longer eat of it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God." He took the cup and He gave thanks and He said, "Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say to you that I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." And He took bread, and He gave thanks, and He broke it, and He gave it to them, saying, "This is My body, which is broken for you." Likewise, He took the cup after dinner and said, "This cup is a new covenant in My blood, which is shed for you." Jesus and His disciples, no doubt, had observed the Passover many times. I'm sure that they all did from the time they were children, growing up, looking back at what God had done for Israel and delivering them. But here, Jesus ties it together with His death. He's making the connection. He's making it known. He says that He is the fulfillment of Passover. He's the fulfillment. The Passover looked back at the deliverance, but the Lord's Supper looks back at what? The sacrifice that Jesus made for us. "This is My body, which is broken for you." This was the same Passover bread. This is what they've been doing for years and years and years. And Jesus identifies it and shows it to them and says, "This is my body, which is broken for you. And this is my blood, which is shed for you." So it looks back at the sacrifice that Jesus made for all of us. But you know, it doesn't just look back. It also looks ahead. I love where it says, Jesus said, "But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." Matthew chapter 26, verse 29. Anyone else? I love that. I love that Jesus made that statement and said, "I'm not going to have this anymore until I have it new with you." See how personal that is? I love that. That moves me. "Till I drink it anew with you in the kingdom." So we look forward to Jesus coming and being with Him in the kingdom. So the meaning of the bread and the cup, as I said, Passover, all the things had meaning. And it's the same way with the memorial that Jesus established with the bread and the cup. What are the meanings? The bread in the Passover, it's interesting, even today, as it is observed by Jewish people who don't believe in Jesus, there are three loaves. I'm not sure if unleavened bread is called a loaf. There are three loaves of bread, and there's one in the center. Think Father, Son, Holy Spirit. There's one in the center, and that one, during the procedure, is broken. And it was at that point when Jesus broke the bread in doing the Passover observance, that He said, "This is my body, which is broken for you." And I just thought that was interesting that people that don't believe in Jesus and have Passover, and there's a lot more to it than that. You know, there's a bone of a lamb. Well, prophecy says not one bone of Jesus would be broken. You know, it's just too many to list. And everything points at Jesus. But that was the bread. And He said, "This is my body, which is broken for you." And under the Old Testament Passover, the bread represented the suffering of the Israelites. But now what does it represent? The broken body of Jesus Christ. The broken body. You remember what He did? Do you remember what He did for you and what He did for me? Isaiah 53:5 says, "But He was wounded for our transgressions." Now get that. Let that sink in. Because we're all familiar with it. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised or crushed for our iniquities. The chastisement or the required punishment for our peace was upon Him. How many have peace with God?
Amen.
How many remember a time when you didn't have peace with God? But I mean, you really have peace with God now. You're living your life. You know you're okay. You know you're in relationship with the Father. The chastisement for our peace, so that we could have peace, was upon Him. Praise the Lord. The chastisement, remember, the punishment that He endured for my peace was upon Him. And the New Testament says that while we were yet sinners, think about it, bruised for our iniquities, wounded for our transgressions, chastised, beaten, punished for our peace. And did we deserve Him to do that? No. When did He do it? While we were yet sinners. While we were in rebellion. While we were shaking our fist at God. Saying, "I'll do my own thing. I'll go my own way." That's when He did it. That's when He laid down His life. That's when the chastisement for my peace, so that I could have peace, was upon Him. That's amazing grace. Amen? Praise the Lord, somebody. So what does it mean? And what's it all about? Let's not take it lightly. Because of His sacrifice, because of His broken body, because of His wounds, because of His stripes, because of His bruises, we can be forgiven.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, there ought to be shouting there. we can be forgiven for all of our transgressions, all of our iniquities, all of our sin. We can have peace because of what He has done. The cup, Jesus said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you." Under the old covenant, a man could only approach God with a sacrifice, with the sacrifice of an animal. But it wasn't enough. Even that pointed to Jesus. Hebrews 10 verse 4, listen. "For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sin." It can't do it. Only the blood of that precious, undefiled, perfect, sinless Lamb of God could take away our sins. What can wash away my sin?
Nothing
but the blood of Jesus. Hebrews 10, 11 and 12, Paul said, "And every priest stands ministering daily and offering repeatedly the same sacrifices which can never take away sin. But this man, Jesus, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God." Verse 14 says, For by one offering, he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified." What does that mean? That's all you need. Just Jesus. His blood is enough to wash away every sin, to make you pure, to make you as white as snow, and to perfect you forever. Does that mean you're perfect now? No. Listen to what it says. Perfect forever those who are being sanctified. Now, sanctified, that's another one of those Christianese words, right? Sanctified means it's that process of getting closer to Jesus. It's that process of getting more like Him. How many want to be more like Him? But His sacrifice was enough to keep us in there forever while we're being sanctified, while our salvation draws near. There's a day coming. Come on. There's a day coming when all that, it's all going to be gone. That sin nature is going to be gone. That struggle is going to be gone. Why? Because of what He did. Because of that one sacrifice. Hallelujah, somebody. Hallelujah, somebody. Perfected forever. Because of Jesus, we have a New Testament. Now, we're not talking about, you know, the little book with the Word of God in there. A New Testament, a new covenant. A new covenant with God. Again, all because of Jesus' blood, our sins are washed away. We can be made clean and acceptable to God. Clean by what the Lamb of God has done for us. He had the bread. He had the cup. He said, "This do. This do in remembrance of me." The broken body, the shed blood. How many know we need to remember it?
Amen.
How many know sometimes we can forget it? Sometimes we can get caught up in life and we could go days, weeks without even thinking of what He did. Is it important to remember? I think it was. He said, "This do in remembrance of me." Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. He did it once for all. It's done. It's finished. It's enough. Just Jesus. Amen? He's not sacrificed again and again. Now I want to talk to you about making this personal. I want to talk to you about taking it seriously. And we're going to have communion. The Lord laid it on my heart to preach this sermon and to have communion after. But I want you to listen. I want you to make it personal. I want you to take it seriously. We can see the symbolism in both the Passover and the Lord's Supper. And we can learn what it means, right? Bread, broken body, the cup, shed blood, all of that. Everything I've already talked about. We can have that up here. Come on. But it needs to go beyond head knowledge. What does it mean to you? You know, this is a memorial that Jesus established. What does it mean to you? His broken body, His shed blood, His sacrifice, His chastisement. What does it mean to you? Now, many of us do not know what it's like to be under the oppression of evil men, to be in slavery by Egypt, or under the oppression of Nazi Germany, or you know, Saddam Hussein or any of that. Many of us don't know because, thank God, our brave men and women, our fighting men and women, have kept the battle from our shore. I'm thankful that my grandchildren don't know the face of war. I'm thankful that at this to this point, they don't have to be afraid that there's going to be a bomb go off or they're going to be captured. I was reading some things about World War II, and it just goes way beyond what we hear in the history books. You know, when they say, like, you know, the Nazis took over this town, you know, we think, oh, okay, well, they sieged the town. They took over. No, they didn't just siege the town. They destroyed everything. They raped the women. They did everything. They killed the children. You know, it's more than just, okay, they went in, now they're in charge. But thank God we don't have to deal with that on our shores. Why? Because we have our military who has always been there for us to protect us from that. Amen? How many are glad? Hallelujah. But there's a greater oppressor. We don't know what it's like in this country to be under a regime like that. But there's a greater oppressor than anything that man can do. That oppressor is sin. Sin puts us into bondage. Paul says that we are slaves to it. Who will deliver us? Who will set us free? I want to tell you this morning that I am not taking lightly, and you know that, what our soldiers did for us. But this oppressor called sin, no soldier can break those chains. No man can set you free. There's no treaty that can protect you. We are helpless. But praise God, there is a deliverer. Amen? There is a redeemer. There is a Savior. There is one who breaks every chain of bondage. I don't care what kind of chain you have. I don't care what kind of addiction you have. I don't care what kind of bondage and what kind of slavery to sin you're in. I can tell you right now, Jesus can break every chain. Every chain. You just have to let Him. You just have to ask Him. You can be delivered. I don't care. I don't care what you're involved in. I don't care what your sin is. I don't care what your struggle is. Jesus. Jesus can break every chain. There is a deliverer. What's His name?
Jesus.
Hallelujah. He paid the price so we could be free. So I have to ask you this morning, have you been set free? Again, we're talking about communion. We're talking about what Jesus said to look back and remember Him. Can you remember a time? Can you look back? Can you remember what He did? Are you thankful? Does the bread and the cup remind you of His sacrifice? Again, this is a memorial that Jesus Himself established. It is not to be a religious ritual that we just do. Amen? He made it clear. He made it simple. Cup and the bread. No special robes, no special position. You don't have to be pointing in a certain direction. No smoke, no bells, no chant, none of that.
Amen.
That's man's religion. The bread and the cup. Simple, but there is one requirement. You know, Memorial Day, how many get sentimental on Memorial Day? Right? Pastor, do you remember how my grandfather used to sit in his rocking chair and read the paper every evening? You don't? Do you remember? He had these bibbed overalls. He was a carpenter. And they're carpenter. I mean, you ever seen carpenter overalls? They got like a built-in nail bed. And he'd hang them in the garage. You remember that?
No.
How can you not remember that?
Never met him.
So you're saying you never knew him?
No.
Do you see the key? You can't look back and remember if you don't know him. In order to remember someone, you have to know them. So let me ask you again, do you know Jesus?
Yes.
Do you know Him as your liberator, as your deliverer, as your redeemer, as your Savior? Can you look back in remembrance? This do in remembrance of me. Can you look back in remembrance of how He saved you? When you take the bread, when you take the cup, do you know that it's not just a ritual? That it's not just history, that it's not going through the motions, amen? But that His broken body and His shed blood was for who? Yes, the chastisement for Say it with me. The chastisement for my peace was upon him. Do you know it? Do you remember him? Does it have true meaning for you? So again, we're going to celebrate the Lord's Supper this morning. We're going to do this together, but again, it also has to be a personal memorial. As we partake, I want you to remember what he said. This do in remembrance of me. Remember how you trusted the Savior. Remember how you fully rely on him. Remember that he is your salvation, your only hope. Remember him as an object of your gratitude. Thank him and praise him. Let's not go through the motions, amen? Thank him and praise him for what he has done. Remember him for who he is. This do in remembrance of me. He's your friend. Hallelujah. He's your advocate. He's your shepherd, your leader, your healer, your protector, your provider, the lover of your soul, and our soon coming king, because we also look forward. How many are waiting for his kingdom? He said this. He said, this do in remembrance of me. So let us have that memorial this morning and really make it personal and really think about it. Caleb and Tom, would you come?